First Baptist Church of Redmond, March 30th, 2014. Invest in living.
Please stand. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 1 and 2. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a serving to seven and also to eight, for you do not know what evil will be on the earth. You see it.
Very good. Stephanie, how many people are in your household? Somebody's out of luck on that verse. I thought about that. No, that's have somebody over for lunch verse, which you see right there. Give a serving to seven and to eight. In your Bible, we've been looking at Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Remember, weeks ago, I put up an image for the book of Ecclesiastes, Life in the Fishbowl. This fish is tired of his little bowl. What is he doing? He's coming to the east side. He's stepping up. He's going to find some new, exciting things in life. Like the persons in this picture. This one, I was able to find. Hey, I've seen these people. October 14th, 2012. Australian skydiver Felix Baumgartner, he's on the right there, and you see he's partially sponsored by Red Bull, broke two world records that had stood for 50 years. He smashed the previous world record for the fastest dive through the air, breaking the sound barrier, and reached a velocity of 834 miles an hour. Remember this? This is up in a balloon thing. He also broke the world record for the highest free fall, jumping out of the balloon 128,000 feet, 24 miles above New Mexico. But he couldn't have done it without the help of his mentor, who's the man on the left in this picture. The previous world record for both of those, currently 84-year-old Joel Kittinger. Kittinger is a retired U.S. Air Force colonel and has been part of his team helping him do these skydives. Baumgartner talking to Kittinger on the little cam he had, radio he had. His deep voice offered assurance. Baumgartner didn't allow any other voice but Kittinger's in his helmet. When the dive was finished, he only had praise for his new world records. National Geographic highlighted the bond between the two men. This guy was not only a skydiver and lived, he encouraged other people to do skydiving. Can you imagine? There was a time in my life when we lived someplace else where in our area there was a little community airport, and for $75 at that time, you'd have 4 hours. You'd go in, they'd give you flight school, have you do a pre-drop, and then they'd take you on the plane. And it wasn't the cowardly way people so often you see do with two guys strapped together. You're jumping on your own. Pull your ripcord or, well, other things happen. But I thought very hard about that. I still think about that sometimes. I think about that would be something to do. Wouldn't that be exciting? Jump out of a plane? Former President George W. Bush. No. The senior, George H.W. Bush, did that a couple years ago, so in the news. Now, he jumped with a guy. The older you get, maybe the more smart that is. But he jumped with a guy. And what was his picture? How about that? Jumping from a plane? Good for him. You know, normally, you like that, you see that song? Cemetery Street is a what? That's right, Cemetery Street is a dead end. Normally, the older we're get, here's the advice we hear. Take it easy. Don't exert yourself. These are things you would see coming out of family members' mouths. Be careful! Don't take the risk. Hold on to what you got. Things are going to get worse. You know what? Last week in the message then, we looked at Ecclesiastes 10, and we looked at how to plan for failure. That was the title of our message. Remember, I know you remember planning for failure. By living foolishly. What was our foolishly living? Was being unaffected by God's wisdom. Now today, as we look at chapter 11, this is as close to a positive message sermon as we find in this series. Because Ecclesiastes is generally life is tough, it's been difficult, we've made a lot of mistakes, you learn your lesson, don't be like me, some other comments, won't do this. But our book is almost done, if you'll notice. There's only one more chapter after this one. We're going to do a couple of parts out of that. But as we look through our book, the farther we get in our book, the more positive our man Solomon gets, because he has learned his lesson. And at the end of his life, as I said, this is Harlequin, this is his autobiographical tell-all confession come clean book. So now we're at the end where he's going to come clean. He's been talking about the frustrations of life. And now he's going to say, listen, here are some other things that I have found. He's talked about the frustration of life under the sun. And he says, listen, that doesn't mean you shouldn't get out of your house in the morning. That doesn't mean you shouldn't jump out of that plane. It doesn't mean, have you seen this? Nelson knew some guy with some little mountains. Asia. And this mountain took him 30 days to climb to the top of, I think it was in Tibet. He's a base jumper. You know those guys who just like flying squirrels? And he jumped off 7,600 feet. Now the mountain was thousands of feet, but the free fall for him was 7,600 feet. And he said afterwards, it was 30 days to climb and 30 seconds to fly down. Now, wow, how about that? I think about that, but I don't think that interests me as much. But brave, bold, courageous, it's okay to do some things. And this is where Solomon's ending up. He says, life under the sun, if I can end it for him a little bit, is frustration because chapter 10 is an introduction of life under the sun is living as a fool, living as someone who is unaffected by God's words and God's truth. That's what he calls it, living foolishly. Living unwise in a way that will not have positive effect, positive benefit, that will not last as a testimony to good, godly living, honorable choices to somebody who can be like him. Which is something, but sometimes you'd rather have nothing than that kind of something. So here is our book is winding to an end. Chapter 11 gives us optimism, positive thinking, because Solomon is embracing the truth that God is alive and active. No matter what the means, no matter what other people might be doing, Solomon is going to encourage us to take a few steps, three steps, with God's strength, optimistically, in the center of his will, doing the right kinds of things that can give you wisdom and guidance for the future. So, the Bible says, by the way, he's not telling us that he lived a wild, foolish life and now he would do it all over again. That's not what he's saying. He's saying that he did some good things, then he wasted a lot of time and lived foolishly. That's been so much of the words that he's confessed under the sun. He says, I'm not telling you to go back and do those foolish, wrong things again. You shouldn't be doing wrong things again. He says, that's not my point. The Bible says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And by the way, I'm not a blogger. Some of you like to blog. There's the Optimistic Christian blog, which I discovered this week as I was working on this message. I'd never heard of it before. It's by a guy named J.E. Dyer. He writes, I believe most people find the first and greatest blessing to be peace of mind and heart, a balance we can't be knocked off of. He talks about how does being a Christian influence his life. And this is what he concluded as the quote-unquote optimistic. Because, can I tell you, isn't there always something bad going on? Isn't there always a reason? But the Bible says that it was the sloth, the fool, that said, there's a lion in the streets, I can't leave my house. Because unless you really don't need to leave your house, somewhere you're going to go someplace. And if the mail stops on Saturdays or throughout the week, you may have to go someplace anyway, you can't mail everything. So somewhere along the line, you have an effect in your life because you know Christ as Savior. And this is the perspective that Solomon is giving, is a life of the one who has now found his responsibility to fear God and be faithful to him. So these pieces of advice, I believe, are coming from here. He has a relaxed repentance. And can I tell you something? Adults almost never repent. Did you know that? Adults almost never change. It's rare that an adult will change. Normally, once we get to a certain age, if we're crabby, we're going to stay crabby. If you're happy, we're going to stay happy. And if you like the hamburger, you're going to still like the hamburger. If you're only going to eat chicken, you're only going to eat that chicken. If broccoli is something that never comes in your house, somebody might give it to you as a gift, and you'll find some way for it to help the corn to grow. I don't know what you're going to do. adults almost never change. But Solomon here is having, even as an adult believer, a time of repentance. And as he is repenting and changing, he's finding the burden is gone, the stress is away, I'm not worrying about keeping up with the rat race, I'm not worrying about these other things, I'm going to look forward, and guess what? Now that I have changed, I've repented, I put my life back under God's control, even believers need to do that. We oftentimes will call it renewal, or we'll call it something else, but that's still just repenting of our sins that we've put up with for a long time and moving forward. So I'm saying, now that I've repented of my sins, these last years of my life are going to be great. And they're going to be characterized by generosity. So they picture biblical boomerangs that I have to use in generosity. Look at the words of Scripture. Cast your bread upon the waters. Now, this is not talking about when I was a child. When I was young, before you had to wear seatbelts, I was very young. How old was I? Probably, I don't know if I was even school age yet, 4 or 5 years old. My dad had, he liked the old Buicks, 59 Buick we had, and he'd sit himself in there, and Dad never wore a seatbelt either. We were rebels back then. He'd sit in the driver's seat, and we'd go down to Sloan's Lake. Eventually, we moved closer to Sloan's Lake as I got older. We'd go to Sloan's Lake, and Mom would get the day-old bread, and they'd give me a loaf of bread. And how square were we? My dad would drive us to Sloan's Lake. We'd park, we'd get up. And there's a lot of ducks at Sloan's Lake. And he'd give me the bread, and I'd throw the bread on the water. The duck would whack, whack, whack. And sometimes the duck was crabby. Sometimes you'd call the bread, and the duck did not want to wait for the bread to get in the water. And you'd say, those ducks are angry. Have you seen those angry? They come out there, and they flap their wings, and they make loud noises. And I don't know if they have teeth or not, but one of them bit me once, and wow, everyone in the state of Colorado knew that I had been duck assaulted. It was not a dynasty duck, it was an assaulting duck. And wow, but I stole it back and I had a good time with that. But the idea, you know, if you throw bread on water, you'll get back? Not a chance. Not a chance. Not a chance. We never went back the next day for leftover bread. Here's the point. What is the point of our verse here? Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Our point here is, when you are in life, you should find something. Don't be surprised if God points you to someplace and asks you to give and invest a little bit. You might have not just a hobby, by the way, but this is some people, some organizations, some thing where you want, you know, you're to see things happen. Somewhere God's going to take your heart someplace. Maybe it's with children. I told you before, I'm interested in most of the martyrs kinds of things. And so we've done a little bit with that. Not much, but some. But there's going to be somewhere that God tugs on your heart. And you think, you know, I've only got X amount and I can use it all. But sometimes God's going to tap you on the shoulder. And it might only be a quarter, it might be 50 cents, it might be a dollar. But you're going to find a good use for that. I was in seminary. The guy who was our seminary dean, who kind of was old and very serious, and we were all kind of afraid of him, had a really good relationship with his wife. He had no children, really good relationship with his wife. And would always say, guys, if you ever get to where there's $2 left, spend a dollar on bread and a dollar on flowers and give them to your wife. There were no women who wanted to hear that, so he must have been serious because he wasn't trying to impress anyone. But give and invest. And by the way, immediate paybacks for that kind of thing may not happen. Look at that first verse. You will find it after many days. Sometimes if you do some nice, kind words, it's not going to show up for a while. It might not show up for a very long time. But God is saying, if you're involved, if you're, and again, we're talking about doing good things for people in a way that honors God. That's what we're talking about. That God can put those things to use. And sometimes, you know, instead of maybe just a quarter, maybe God's going to impress you to give a whole 50 cents. And maybe even more. Look at that second verse we read. Give a serving to 7 and also to 8, for you do not know what evil will be on the earth. Sometimes, if you're just saying, I only need this, but really, they could use more. And so sometimes you do a little bit more, and you give that extra portion, like this, it says, you don't know what evil will be on the earth. Sometimes, you're going to, whether it's time, it doesn't have to be money, it could be time, it could be interest, it could be something, it could just be taking somebody someplace or doing something that makes a difference. So Solomon says, I've learned as I go through life, to not be miserly. Can you overgive? Yes. Yes, it's possible to overgive. But he says, don't be a miser. Do something. Do something for somebody in God's name that honors him. And nothing might happen right away, but one day you'll turn around and things will have been good. And you'll see the difference that you make. I can tell Jack Moyer to cut that out of my sermon, put it on the presentations he's making for fundraising. This camp is raising money for septic. It's hard to raise money for a septic system. Did you know that? See all these people? They sometimes need to do other things. Please give to our septic system. But God's merciful. We've got, I think, about half the money is there now. Hooray! Maybe more. Activity. So the characterizes your daily life is giving. And the second thing is activity. Because one thing that you got to do, get busy. Get busy and just, I'm going to, again, I can confess some little simple things, because yeah, so what? When I was younger, I was very, very concerned. More so than I am today. Today I'm not near as concerned. I was very concerned with other people thought of me. I was, like so many people come up, I was not popular as a child. Well, I'll put my 2 cents in the basket too. I was not popular as a child. Had some problems, sometimes getting a fight at school, sometimes just sit around by yourself in the lunchroom, nobody likes you. I used to tease my parents. Once I get older, by the way, young friends, remember this, when you're older, you can tease your parents. Because my parents, sometimes, my mom especially, when I graduated from high school and got a job, one of the great things I did is 2 things. One, I got my own haircuts. Second, I started buying my own clothes. Because my mom loved the color green. And if you would have looked at me, up through high school even, I'm very careful when I went to the Christian school to where I would go, but my parents would love green, and I couldn't not wear clothes if they bought them for me. So if they bought me clothes, I had to wear them out. So there were these plaid pants that not even a golfer would wear. And they were on sale, so I had 2 of them. So I had to wear them, and I had a little set. I was like, well, I could have 5 sets of clothes for 5 days of the school week. So when I wear those, when I knew we were playing baseball, we're going to be sliding, I wear those green plaid pants. And I wore out one, and the other one, God is merciful, I successfully outgrew one day. Good for me. But you can't worry what other people think of you. I've made good decisions, but also bad decisions, because I overvalued the advice of others because, well, they didn't have, I'm going to say, a right perspective. The Bible says seek opinions of others, but you should seek the opinions of the right people. And I used to ask the wrong people and be concerned about what the wrong people thought about me, and that was a mistake. Some of Solomon's advice here is not to be so hung up on what other folks are saying. And by the way, you are one of the other folks that talk in your head. And not to belabor the point, I got married, I got married at 27 and had our first child at 33. And Mrs. Johnston wanted to have children much more rapidly. And I know what they say when they say, you'll never have enough money to have kids. You know, that's right. Isn't it right? It's right. But they do it anyway. So somewhere along the line, you can't be afraid of what might happen. You just need to move forward and act. And you can't wait until everything is perfect. If the clouds are full of rain, this is a sample verse, what's it say? The next line? They empty themselves upon the earth. If a tree falls to the south or the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it shall be. Things happen. You know what things happen? See it raining? That rains. You know, the things happen, the trees fall, yes, branches come down, the merciful. So I don't park my cars over here. Okay? Because sometimes when the rains come, this is where we always pick up the brush, is over here. I don't park over there. I'm trying to be careful. But things are going to happen. Things are going to change. Things are going to break. You're going to say water's going to drip. It can't keep you, paralyze you from doing anything. Because don't wait until everything is perfect. Verse 4. he who observes the wind will not what? So, he's not going to do any work. And he who regards the clouds, what? Will not reap. If you're always worried about something, nothing's going to happen. So he says, you can always worry about something, but friends, you got to get up and you got to do something. Listen, go for it. Go see what happens. If you do not know as the way of the wind, or how bones grow in the womb of hers with child, so you do not know the works of God who makes everything. He says, go ahead and do something. Verse 6, in the morning sow your seed. In the evening, do not withhold your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether both alike will be. He says, do something. What's going to happen? I don't know. Should I put my energy in here or there? Yes. But do something. Be active. Take a chance. Truly the light is sweet. It's pleasant for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man lives many years and rejoices in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for there'll be many. All that is coming is vanity. Listen, bad things are going to happen. While you can do something good, you should do it. And for a lot of years there, I would just not do anything fun. Because, well, something could go wrong. Now I try to do once in a great while, maybe I'll have two handfuls of French fries on a busy day. Sometimes I'll, have an extra, who knows what. But you got to do something. And Solomon says, if you're unhappy and miserable, a little bit of that might be your fault. Because you want to be doing the right things. You want to be seeking good. You want to take a chance. You want to go do something. If something comes up and don't you have reason to say no, maybe you should say yes. Again, we're talking about things within reason, things that honor God, things that are, maybe a family activity or something you would do for your friends, something that's not wasteful or foolish, but do something. Give it a shot. You can't avoid evil. Everywhere you live, even the monastics, remember the early history of the church, 300s, 400s, 500s, 600s, monasteries came up. They lasted until the Middle Ages. Why? Well, people were going to shut themselves away from sin. But guess what? Why is that impossible? Because wherever you go, there you are. And believe it or not, you and I have some sinful tendencies. Even if I'm by myself, I can still find a way to do something wrong. Okay, I don't need testimonies today. I just want reflection. But do something. And finally, believe it or not, Solomon, who has been crabby, who has been miserable, who has complained about life in the world, tells us to be happy. What's the first word of verse 9? I want you to notice something. I want you to, you don't have to do it right now. Maybe you could, take out your camera, put it on the front facing, but say rejoice. It's almost impossible to look depressed when you say rejoice. I suppose you could rejoice. But if you say rejoice, it stretches out your mouth, you're almost going to put a smile on your eyes. So he's telling us life is tough. He spent his whole book saying life is tough, life is difficult, life is a struggle, life is a strain, things are frustrating. You think I can make a government work better, he says, I'm the king. You talk about the civil servants in my government. I don't know what they're doing. I can't control everything. I don't know what's going on. There's always somebody trying to get ahead. Always somebody who's looking to have their palm bruised. There's always somebody who does a bad job. I can't do anything about that. But what you can try to do is, while you're going throughout your business, try and have some fun. Try and have a little quip. Try and have something you enjoy. I didn't bring it with me, and I knew I would forget. I forgot two things. I forgot my knife, and I forgot. When I was growing up, I met an older man who was kind of serious. But when he did this for me, I saw him in a different light. He said, Doug, do you carry pictures in your wallet? And I said, no, not really. He says, I've got something in my wallet. I'm going to show you my pride and joy. Have you seen this before? He opens it up, and there's dishwashing soap. One brand name is Pride. And then you can go down to the grocery store today and buy a bottle of joy. Here's my pride and joy. And with a straight, somber face. And then I looked at him, chuckled, and he just closed it and put it away. First, I thought, maybe he doesn't realize that's funny. But he's trying, he was just serious, somber, very dry. But I saw that he was just a dry humor kind of guy. It was his personality. But somewhere along, and you know, sometimes at our house there's been some unusual things that happen, some things that happen at Awana, things that happen at Campbell to do things, blow things up, stuff like that. Don't do it very often anymore. But you can have some fun. So he's telling us, rejoice. Now listen, if you're a young person, rejoice in your youth. Are you going to stay up too late and play games? Well, better do it now than when you're my age. You're going to eat too much pizza? Do it now. You're going to eat too much ice cream? Do it now. Just don't fall over. Completely fall over and hit your head in church, because that would hurt. If you have the policy, if you're a man, have a good time. Let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart. You want to do something fun? You want to go climb someplace? You want to sleep the night in a ditch? You want to go? Well, have the time. Go do it before you're too smart to stop. Or you're like me, you just can't. Walk in the ways of your heart inside of your eyes, but know that for all these, God will bring you into judgment. So be careful where you are at 2 o'clock in the morning, who you're with, and what they have in their hand. So you don't want to read about something in the newspaper for those kinds of things, right? So that's what we talk about. Your friends are your future. Who are you hanging around with? What are they doing? So do you want to go have some fun? Go have some fun. You want to go out and get coffee down in Puyallup at 10 o'clock? I don't know. I guess not the time to do it as opposed to later. But enjoy. Do something. Take advantage of opportunities while you're young enough to do it. Years ago in my 20s, when I was another person, I used to be a climber. I used to be a hiker. I slept on the top of a saddle in the mountains in Colorado, 12,600 feet. Wow. We made our own campgrounds. I used to climb. I used to do that. I used to hike. I used to carry all this stuff. And I didn't like crossing ice fields. I was always afraid. Other kids were more manly about that. But I did all that kind of stuff. I used to play sports. There's a wall. If there was a sport, if I'd seen it, I'd played it. Now, if I see it, I see it. That's how I see it now. But while you have a chance, do it. Sometimes you can try different things. So the Bible says, sing a new song. And once in a while, we got to learn a new song. Once in a while, we will. And sometimes you're going to do something different. Why? Well, I just want to try. I'm going to go ahead and have anchovies on my pizza today. I'd like to have a kind of jalapeno in my coffee. No. Well, somebody might. I don't know. But the whole point is somewhere you take time to do things that are good. Do things that are right. Remove sorrow from your heart. Put away evil from your flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity. Since we waste a lot of time, youth is wasted on the young. Amen? Amen. Yeah, there's so much things I wish you to do. But you know what? While you're doing those things, remember to put away, notice, evil. From your good things, have fun. But he reminds them as a good parent, don't get in trouble. Don't do things that get you into trouble. Have fun. How many at Awana? It's this one girl who's aged out now. Her name is Kara. I never saw a human put as many full-size marshmallows in her mouth. You know, the game review, I don't do it this year because Kara's not here. Kara could put, I don't know, now this is the girl about Brittany's age. How many she put in? Just 13. I thought it was more. 13 full-size marshmallows in 30 seconds in her mouth. They couldn't swallow them. Have fun. For us, what's the thing about this? For us, keep active in your life. Don't sit down and go stale. If you smell bad, go out in the wind and get that smell out of you. So there's a truth. I asked my kids the other day, kids, do I smell old yet? This is something comforting I have looking forward to. They have studied. They study your pheromones as you age. The older you are, you do smell differently. Activate your life. Get out. Do something. Remember, here's the big one. Wisdom must accompany action. And Greg had them come home and tell me that they couldn't remember what they did the night before because of whatever. Oh, no, don't. I don't want to know that. If I do know that, I guess I do, and yeah, something's going to happen. Wisdom must accompany action. Watch out for enemy attacks or any lull in the action. We've just been having fun, all of a sudden, well, this surely can't hurt. I never did that before. I've never done this before. Just because you've never done something, you shouldn't do everything once. Amen? That's a hard lesson learned. There's some things you should not do. And the last question is, what are you waiting for? Do something. It's not just something. Do something what? Good. Do something good now. These are not the people this story is about. I have a true story to read you, and this is the closest I can find. There was a group of friends. When I was in Denver, I had a pack of friends. We used to always do things together. Now we were in different places around the world and don't meet like we used to. Story of a group of friends who had a reunion and were discussing where they should go for dinner. Somebody suggested that they meet at the Glowing Embers restaurant because the waiters and waitresses there were young and beautiful. Well, even the girls went. They all agreed. Years later, they met and discussed again where they should have the next reunion. Somebody suggested the Glowing Embers restaurant because of the food selection and things they had, everything was great. All they agreed. Now they're 60 years of age. They once again discussed where to meet. Somebody suggested the Glowing Embers because you can eat there in peace and quiet and the restaurant was smoke-free. They agreed. 15 years later went by again, and now at the age of 75, the people discussed again, where should they meet? They discussed, by the way, you can look this restaurant up on the web. They should meet at the Glowing Embers because the restaurant is physically accessible and they have an elevator. Finally, 15 years later, when they all were 90, the same group of friends discussed one more time where they should meet for dinner. Some agreed they should meet at the Glowing Embers. Why? They can't remember if they had ever been there before. And they all agreed. If you look at this restaurant on the web, it is now closed. You can soon find it. Oh, it's closed. Not that long ago. You know, better to do something and not remember what you've done than to not have done anything and remember everything you haven't done. Somewhere along the line, you know, if you want to know how to tie a fly, tie a fly. If you want to learn what it's like to jump out of an airplane, even if you get scrapped somebody on, give it a shot. But do something. But like our man Solomon is saying, make sure that you're putting away evil what you're doing. Don't do everything that's foolish, but do something. And do things that honor God. The first one about generosity, somewhere find something that God is doing and then do a little bit of extra with it or help out with it or go watch it and see what happens. Because nothing happens without God and people. And God is there. And then, remember the little thing? Open it up, man. You got to have people. Or all you've got is a fist. Father, thanks for a good day. Pray that you'll watch over us, bless us, help us, honor us, help us to honor you. Help us to get involved in living. Help us, Father, even though we reflected all the dangers, all the fears, all the problems, the difficult people, situations, bad things that are there, God, help us to pray, strengthen ourselves in your truth, gulp, and put on our shoes and do something. Help us to honor you. In Jesus' name, everybody said,